the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. Worship Your holy name.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
You forgave the iniquity of my
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, And instead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. As for me, I have set my King on Zion, my holy. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." Praise the Lord, all nations. For great is his steadfast love toward us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. The Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high, the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, whom to know is everlasting life, grant us to know your Son, Jesus, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may boldly confess him to be the Christ and steadfastly walk in the way that leads to life eternal. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading appointed for this day is found in the 51st chapter of the prophet Isaiah. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look to at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. So far, the word of the Lord.
Be to God.
Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Our epistle reading is found in the 11th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our servicing, or our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord. To God. We stand in honor of the gospel of our Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O
Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Let us now confess our faith to one another and to the world in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated. Christ is made the sure foundation, Christ our head and cornerstone, chosen of the Lord and precious, binding all the church in one. Holy Zion, help forever, and our confidence alone. To this temple where we called you, come, O Lord, stand, stay, come with all your loving kindness, hear your people as you pray, and your fullest benediction shed within these walls today. Grant, we pray, to all your faithful all the gifts they ask to gain, what they gain from you forever with the blessed to retain. In your glory, evermore with you to reign. Praise and honor to the Father, praise and honor to the Son, praise and honor to the Spirit, ever three and ever one, one in might and one in glory, unending. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Our text is our gospel reading for this morning. You may be seated. We pray. Lord our God, I pray that the words of my lips, the meditation of our hearts, would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Amen. Well, you know, life is full of questions. Questions abound everywhere. Starting with, what am I going to do with my life? What will I be? Will I ever get married? Will my kids turn out okay? Will my grandkids be okay? What will tomorrow bring? And those are practical questions that beg for an answer. But there are also questions about our spiritual lives. Am I saved? Will I go to heaven when I die? Or why does God allow such tragedies to exist on earth? And then there are those great philosophical questions, beginning with, which came first, the chicken or the egg? And one of my favorites, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin? You've never heard that one, huh? Okay. Or there was one in my philosophy class that said, if a tree falls in the forest and no one is around to hear it, does it make a sound? And we could go on and on. All of these questions have one common element illustrated by the following story. There was a college sophomore who tried to prove just how smart he was one day by asking his professor the following question: is the bird I'm holding in my hand dead or alive? And he said, if the professor said the bird was dead, well, all he had to do was squeeze it. But if the professor said it was alive, he'd just let it go. Professor looked at the boy and said, the answer is in your hands. Pretty wise man. The common elements with all questions is that the answer can and really does lie within us. We can find it ourselves, or we can surrender the question and the answer to someone else, namely God. But we can do something with all these questions of life and all of their answers. Now, I began talking about questions this morning because our gospel lesson and our epistle lesson pose some questions. In the gospel, Jesus asked his disciples, who do the people say that I am? And then he followed that with, but who do you say that I am? And in our epistle reading, Paul asked, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? These questions beg for answers from us this morning. So let's see if the answer lies in our hands. In the gospel reading, John asked the disciples what they had heard about him. He's taking a survey, a kind of a Gallup poll. He hears the answers of the disciples, and then he starts to get a little more up close and personal. He says, okay, but who do you say that I am? And then Peter, good old St. Peter, he responds for the whole group, perhaps, when he says, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in that answer, Peter was saying a whole lot about Jesus. He was saying he knew that Jesus was more than John the Baptist, which some people were saying, knew that he was more than a prophet like Elijah. He knew Jesus was connected to God himself. And so Peter calls him Savior, Lord, Son of God. Peter knew that Jesus was unique. He knew that Jesus was more than a man with dirty hair and wrinkled face and dusty feet and soiled clothes. More because this man, who was at the same time God, had changed him. Peter was coming to trust and believe in Jesus more and more all the time. Kind of from experience. Like I read this morning, I think sometimes we gain a lot of experience, but a lot of it is from bad experiences. And that's what happened to Peter. He made some wrong decisions, but he learned from them. Peter saw past the man. He saw that hidden divinity of Jesus. So he could cry out now, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Illustrate that with a little story. There was an organist practicing one day in a great church, one of those big cathedrals in Europe. Man came up and asked if he could play the organ. Well, the organist kind of looked at him and thought to himself, I don't know if I should let this man even touch our organ. He's unshaven, clothes are soiled, kind of looks like a bum. So he told him no to begin with, but the unkempt man kind of ask again and again. Finally, the organist said, okay, I'll let you play, figuring it wouldn't be very long. You wouldn't be able to do much. And as he began, the fingers began to dance over that keyboard in a way that this organist had not heard in his lifetime. Stranger played on and on. The organist was spellbound. When the stranger got up to leave, the organist couldn't help but contain himself, shouted out, who are you? What is your name? The stranger, who looked like a bum, slowly walked away, kind of looked over his shoulder and said, well, my name is Felix Mendelssohn. The man gasped. He said to himself, I almost didn't let the master play. In the same way, do you and I see Christ in the kind deeds of others? Do we see Christ in the words of comfort that are offered during trouble? Do we see Christ in someone who we oftentimes regard as less than or not as good as we are. Peter saw the divinity in this man, Jesus. But sometimes I wonder if we see and feel that divinity of Christ today. We can miss seeing Jesus, who is all around us and in each of us, because sometimes we get so caught up with the exterior stuff of our faith that we cannot see the God that is beyond all of that stuff, to the God who is active and living and interested in our individual lives. "Who do you say I am?" asked Jesus. The answer lies in your hands. Paul is asking in his first question, the question of the motivation of God. Kind of what makes God tick. Paul's question takes Jesus' question just another step further. If God is in Jesus, then why does God do what he does? He's saying that he can't really understand the mind of God. He searches for answers. But he comes to the conclusion, to the realization that all he and anyone else can do is to worship God. Paul realizes all that one can do is to just stand in awe of God. Paul finds that anyone in the presence of God, it's all he can do is to worship him, to praise him, to fall down on his knees before him. But to understand, to explain, to comprehend all that God does, that's impossible. Do we allow God to be God? Do we stand in awe and wonder of his majesty and his power? There's a book entitled Forever in Debt, written by a Dr. Raymond Gibson. He quotes, "One of the great tragedies of our time is that we Christians have lost our sense of wonder and awe. We are a scientifically minded generation who consider all of living as a logical thing to be explained, analyzed, and defined." Do we allow God to be God? Or do we get so preoccupied with trying to figure things out that we make ourselves gods? That in our own searching and wanting to be in control, we kind of lose sight of that majesty and that awe that the early Christians had of God. Do we see the church, do we see all that God represents as something that just makes us feel good? And if it doesn't meet our expectations, we leave and go off to find something that does. Is a church a place that we hope will make us feel better because each day is such a bad experience, that it makes our days seem more positive? Is it a place that allows me to kind of stay shut up in myself to get a few good strokes to make us feel good? Is it a challenging experience that is simply like an inspiring lecture? Is it more like a drug that we will expect to make us magically better to deal with life, even escape the responsibilities of life? I can't tell you the number of times I've had individuals who became members of a church and suddenly said, "Pastor, why isn't my life all roses? I joined the church." Well, people join, people leave the church on the basis of how the church supposedly makes a person feel. That's unfortunate. I'd like to suggest we cannot let a mere feeling control or sabotage the function of the church in our lives. That's why we need to look at this time of worship as a time not just to feel good, but as a time for caring and sharing and loving and receiving each other in God's name. Is the church simply supposed to make us feel good? Or is it supposed to be the other way around, perhaps? Being in God's presence is not primarily a time when I just feel good. I hope that happens, yes, but it should be more of a time where I worship God and I respect His authority in my life as Lord and Savior. I mean, isn't worship a time that's supposed to be centered and focused on God and what He has done for me through Christ? And as we sang, we should have, there's 10,000 reasons for that and more. I pray that we would use our worship time to kind of help us to regain that awe and that wonder, that sense of worshiping in the name and the presence of an almighty God. Let's worship. Let's use that worship time to regain the majesty, the power, the wonder of God who keeps us spellbound with His grace. Let's try to capture that image that worship is a time and place to allow God and enable God to bring us into a relationship with Him. Let's capture the essence of worship, which begs for an answer to that question, who do you say that I am? And Paul's question, who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? The answer's in your hands. One final question which Paul asked, who has given him a gift that he might be repaid? Paul's saying that we can never repay God for all His gifts to us. There's nothing which we have that can repay God for all the grace, no matter how much we try. We can, however, in worshiping in Him, kind of get a crude sense of repaying Him as we bring Him into our hearts and the hearts of others. Another way to worship God is to simply tell others about Him. By doing so, we are worshiping God and worshiping not ourselves, but bringing Him glory. At the same time we're telling others, we're telling them how much He means to us. Telling others about God is an act of worship because the emphasis is not on us, but rather on God. And since it is worship, there's going to be an excitement, a thrill in sharing God with others. There should be a time, or there should be that same awe, that same majesty, that same wonder in telling others about God as we use in our worship here. I want to close with a song, the words which I learned probably junior, senior year in high school and began to sing in college. It kind of captures a little bit the excitement, the love, the caring for God and His people that we find. It begins, "It only takes a spark to keep the fire going. And soon all those around can warm up to its glowing." That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you want to spread His love to everyone. You want to pass it on. I wish for you, my friend, this happiness that I've found. You can depend on Him. It matters not where you're bound. I'll shout it from the mountaintops. I want the world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on. That is my prayer for you today, that you would regain again this awe, this wonder, and want to pass it on. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen. Creator. Let us now pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, from you and through you and to you are all things. You have built your church on the confession of the gospel and have promised that the gates of hell will not overcome it. To your church throughout the world, grant the faith and courage to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God Almighty, you transform your church by the Holy Spirit so that she does not conform to the world. Draw forth from your people their proclamation of thanksgiving, that they may tell of all your wondrous deeds. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, grant that the office of the keys may be honored among us in order that we may confess our sin and be absolved in the name of Christ. As you have so graciously forgiven us, grant that we may extend this grace by forgiving others. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, care for all families, children, single adults, and youth, that they might steadfastly walk in the way that leads to life eternal. Grant an increase in wisdom and grace to all who teach and learn. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, grant that all nations and leaders might act for peace, promote godliness, and protect all who live under violence, oppression, injustice, and fear, that all people might extol you. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, care for all victims of disaster, for those stricken by illness or infirmity, for the aged and infirm, for the grieving, and for those who are near death. Especially we ask you to show your love toward Pastor Scott and Julie, toward Larry, to Robert, to Mary and Alfred, Gary, Jerry, Cynthia, Dean and Sue, Barbara, Scott, Bob, Don and Donna, J.D. and Tavy, Callie and Briella, to Ann and to Peggy. Lord, in your mercy, from you and through you and to you are all things. To you, O Father, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, be glory now and forever. We join together in the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Let your continual mercy cleanse and defend your church, O Lord. And because she cannot continue in safety without your help, protect and govern her always by your goodness. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. 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 Most glorious,
the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in mind. Thy justice like mountain, soaring above, thy cloud which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but naught changes thee. Father of glory, pure Father